Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I am the host of Dice Exploder, the Emmy-nominated podcast all about RPG design right here on the Many-Sided Network. And after years of interviews and ideation with some of the best designers in RPGs, my first print game is coming to Kickstarter. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, a John Wick-inspired game about getting your bloody revenge. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a game about standing in the shadow of a skyscraper in the pouring rain, bathed in bubblegum neon and someone else's blood, staring down at the man who ruined your life all those years ago, raising the barrel of a gun and asking, "Will you pull the trigger?" Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a one-shot capsule game box set deck builder RPG, and you can follow it right now on Kickstarter. Back Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on May 5th.
Hey, before we begin the episode, I just wanted to announce that 5GMs will be donating 100% of our merch profits to a local charity that supports immigrants starting today. Each month, we'll announce on our socials which charity we'll be donating to. If you've been eyeing a new hat for the summer or a new hoodie to keep you warm, now your purchase will go to a good cause. You can visit the number 5gmsinatrenchcoat.bigcartel.com today to make your purchase. Thank you. This season of 5GMs in a Trench Coat deals with themes of loneliness, loss, the paranormal, growing older, confrontation, parental pressures, reconciliation, teenage shenanigans, allusions to being people of color in the 80s, and hope. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello everybody and welcome to 5GMs in a Trench Coat Season 5 from Inside the Tent. I'm Adam, I'm going to be your GM today. On my left we have...
Hey, I'm Jesse, I'm playing Zeke.
Hi, I'm Tanlin, and I'm playing Javier O'Reilly.
Hi, I'm Kim. I'm playing Clem. Oh, God.
Yeah, so where we last left off, you guys had decided to stay the night at the Pandemonium Hotel. Some things had gone a little awry once you made it into Colorado, and the van broke down. And you guys walked just a couple of miles, but it seems you've crossed the entire state of Colorado, if you could imagine that.
I can't.
Yeah, you can't seem to find your van on the outside, and you decided, you know... Might as well rest, get our heads together, and, calm down a bit. However, upon your arrival and a quick nap, Clem went missing. Clem has this proclivity to every once in a while or every now and again go for a little sleep stroll, if you will. After going missing, the two of you, Javi and Zeke, went downstairs to confront or to discuss the situation, and... They seemed a little perplexed that you hadn't shared the fact that Clem sleepwalked because you guys hadn't read the pamphlet, and this is notoriously a place where sleepwalkers apparently go missing and sometimes come back. Our plan from there was to give Zeke some sleeping pills where he would try his best to stave off falling asleep so he could sleepwalk. You tied a rope to him, and all fairness, he did manage to do it, and he walked you guys into sort of... It was almost this optical illusion, and now you're in an additional part of the hotel that is very clearly not as used and not as lived in. You're in, functionally, the back rooms of this hotel. It looks like extra hotel rooms. Clem, you've managed to get down a level. You've walked around a bit. What are you looking to do?
God, I don't know. I think I'm just going to try to see if I can get to the ground floor.
Okay.
That's my goal right now.
Yeah, that sounds good. So you're just kind of going to do the same thing where you like do the like a little dangle over and like...
Yeah, see if I can jump down to the next level.
Okay, yeah.
And not go back up.
Can you give me some kind of roll that would... This is on your keenness of paying attention to the floors you're on. Because these floors don't entirely make sense.
I'm going to... Actually, I'm going to try grit then. Okay. If we're trying to go like groundedness.
And this is also on your ability to jump down.
Yeah, because I was like, it's about the groundedness right now, not really like the brainy part of it.
Yeah.
What is that? A 3. God, I'm fucking stuck. I have another token.
Give you... Oh, you have an extra one?
I have one more.
Give you 2 tokens there, Clem. You start jumping down. You go down about 3 flights. You're not like super athletic, but you are a young, healthy, fit woman. Jump down these ways. And You hit a floor and it kind of seems like there's nothing. Like, it seems like there's no more space for you to jump down. So you're sort of just here for now.
Okay.
And maybe your eyes are playing tricks on you, or maybe you, this is it. But you kind of walk in, you open up. And it is a second lobby.
What?
Not unlike the first one that you came into.
Okay.
But it is empty save for bits of belongings that are kind of left up. There's, you know, a half-filled cup. You see an old cup of coffee, a bag or two beside chairs. It is a functional hotel lobby, but there's no one down here. And there's this thin layer of dust. You see footprints in the dust here or there. Some of the footprints are footprints that were made in dust that now have dust in them, so they're not the same layer of dust that is
but
there.
But it looks like there's two layers of dust.
Yeah, and that occurs all across the place. This is perhaps a place that more than one person has come to, and you're here now.
I think I'm just gonna walk through then.
Okay, yeah. Just walk around, looking around.
Yeah, just be like, hello?
As you call out hello, Clem, how religious is your mom and or superstitious is your mother, and what religion or superstition did she grow up with, and what religion or superstition did you grow up with?
I would say that we weren't really a religious family, but we were more on the superstitious side. I would say it's that thing of like, don't walk under mirrors and like the number four is bad, that sort of thing, of just like these little things to not mess with the order of the balance sort of thing.
Yeah. So, as you said, you're not exactly religious, but you're a bit superstitious. And as you say hello, something that is simple enough, you get this kind of creeping sensation in your head of like, hello is an invitation to talk. And your lips feel cold, a little, not blistered, but like chapped. And it's just a cold night standing in front of somewhere. You in this moment are in this room, but you experience an entire sensation that isn't new to you. And you just hear, oh, hello, lonely girl. Are you a visitor to my hotel?
Just like quiet and like frozen.
And we're gonna cut away. Javi and Zeke, you've managed to end up in this back room's place. Zeke, I think you wake Zeke up. Yes, Javi. Or are you leaving Zeke asleep to see where he goes?
I want to leave him asleep to see where he goes.
All right, Zeke, can you just give me some kind of roll? You can decide what you're gonna roll here.
I'll just do a grit. You know, he's just kind of going along.
Yeah.
Four.
Go ahead and roll that with advantage.
9.
Zeke, Javi, you see this. You see Zeke's eyes moving underneath his eyelids pretty rapidly. And Zeke, you get a bit of a bloody nose. And then you just kind of hear like coming from Zeke's mouth. And Zeke, you walk. You're dreaming. And what you're dreaming, you see Clem walk from this room out, jump down to like another stair level and jump down to another stair level. And Javi, what you see is Zeke just kind of walk. You have him on this rope and he just starts climbing over the stairwell, like
the railing.
The railing, getting ready to jump down.
Try and like lead him around to just go down the steps.
You want to like pull him back
just a little.
You give him a little tug. Zeke, you see your friend kind of filtering away in the distance as you turn and start going down the stairwell to follow. The two of you go down the stairwell. Zeke, you've lost your friend in this dream, and I think you're getting a little restless, a little frantic. There's a bit more blood coming out of his nose. Javi, you go down the stairwell and then around down the next portion of the stairs, and then you're back up at the same door you had just left, and you left it open, and that's how you know, and you look in and you see the room numbers haven't changed.
Oh.
Zeke begins attempting to climb over the stairwell again.
Oh my god.
can I like look over and try and gauge if this is, because we've seen the optical illusions, or at least I have, what, following him in here?
To a partial extent. Like, it's not like you're like, oh, yeah. I understand all
yeah,
of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right,
now.
Right. But like, I don't know. I don't want him to jump down and hurt himself. That's my thing. Like, can I just look over and be like, what are you
yeah,
looking
for? Yeah, so you
for?
Look down and you see directly underneath you, I think even just like, just under, is another railing and another stairwell that is just like, so the front of it is tucked under the ledge of yours, so you wouldn't be able to see it just walking around or looking down. You have to like lean over.
Yeah. Oh. At this point, doesn't look far enough that he's gonna hurt himself, right?
I mean, you've been in a hotel, yes?
He might twist an ankle.
If he lands poorly, yeah. I mean, you could do this pretty easily, but you would still have to like swing under. But he's, right now Zeke's like halfway over.
Oh no.
He's...
Oh, can I just tug him off a little again yeah. and then try it myself?
Yeah. You give me some kind of physical roll,
okay.
please.
Do you think flight or brawn?
I'll let you pick that. Flight's probably easier. That's probably the better option.
Yeah, because I have more brawn, but
if you could explain to me how you're gonna do it with brawn.
Yeah, I'm not muscling it. I'm using like.
Yeah, because you're using like more agility. Like the gymnastic like swing. But yeah. I mean, if you want to explain it to me that you're doing more of a like a chin up and you like kind of crawl down, lower yourself, and then drop and catch yourself, I can let you do the muscle. But that I'll say a failure on that will be worse than a failure on.
Yeah, I think it makes more sense to do the swingy okay. maneuveries. Oh,
what is that?
Oh, it's a 12.
Oh, you roll again.
I roll again.
Four.
What is that for? So 12 plus 4.
Yeah, you pretty comfortably swing down. You land pretty comfortably. There's a door here. It's been left open. This is not the same door. You see different numbers on the outside. Someone else has been in this area. You then see Zeke climb over.
Yeah, I'm like, now I'm down here. I'm getting ready to like try and help him
yeah,
down.
So Zeke climbs over and pretty comfortably like does like a little like lean in. But as you see that his calves are going to hit the railing and he's going to like flip mm-hmm. down. Like he's, and you go to reach and you there's this on your hands for a moment. And you see Zeke just kind of filts and move just a little. It's so uncanny. It's almost like seeing if everything on a table moved and then fell. It's that.
Yeah.
Zeke is falling, suddenly moves, and then falls and is on the space with you.
I think it's that like moment of like, what? Like, I'm just going to let that shit ride. Like that's not me. Like, this is something. I'm just going to make sure he's not getting hurt.
Yeah.
All right.
Zeke. In your dream, you begin hearing bits of words. You hear words and voices. Zeke, what phrases or words or things are you hearing in this dream? What is being said to you as you attempt to find your friend Clem in this space that maybe you don't belong in?
I think he's just kind of hearing mundane things, like mm-hmm. people talking about their plans and... Mm-hmm. And I think it's just kind of like mundane, everyday things.
Zeke, I want you to give me... I'll let you pick, but I want you to give me your role that is going to resist you from getting pulled in another direction. Resist you from following another thread rather than following your friend's thread.
I think grit, just trying to keep
okay.
focused.
Yeah, give me your grit.
Or...
You see that Clem, in your dream, you were following Clem. You see Clem go inwards where this open door is. Javi, you would know that's open door there. You also see Clem come out and jump down another level. But there's a thrumming and a pulling in this other direction. Javi, Zeke begins walking inward towards that open door into another hallway.
Yeah, he obviously knows where he's going because yeah. the first time it showed me something new. Mm-hmm. So... Like, yeah.
Yeah, you follow him. Zeke, I want you to roll me a D10, please, as there are five doors on either side of these this hallway.
Okie dokie. 3.
You walk three paces down functionally, and then to the left, you open this door, a door that Clem did not open, but you see, you know, it's almost like seeing wisps of Clem in this kind of vision you're seeing in your dream, this dream. And you open this door, and inside of here, it is, you look in, and you're looking into a room full of snow and ice. Javi, a chill washes out as this door opens. It's the inside of a hotel room, but it's colder than you could even imagine. There's snow in places. Not for you. For you, there's snow in places, Zeke. Javi, it's so cold, it's uncanny. And Zeke begins walking in. Zeke, you see someone sitting on the bed shivering. And just kind of mumbling. They left me. They left. It's just me now, and I'm here, and that's okay. And it's always really just been me when you think about it. And you walk in, and this person's just shaking, kind of rocking back and forth. Their skin is blue. Their lips are dark blue. Their fingertips are darkened. Javi, as you walk in behind Zeke, I think you stop him. You can tell me if you do or don't, because you see bare feet at the very end of the bed. So you're walking down into this kind of like the hallway portion, which like has the restroom on the left-hand side of the room, where you see just the end of the bed, and you see these feet, thin. The skin itself is thin and a little papery. Like they haven't eaten in a long time, maybe. Their ankles, you can see, and they have such long, unkept toenails, and they're not moving.
Yeah.
You stop, Zeke. Zeke, you're just at that brink where you can't see the full bed, but you see someone rocking back and forth. Every once in a while, their head will come into view. You see their knees and their feet and their cold blue body. Clem!
Yeah.
You just got asked if you're here to visit the hotel.
I think after a heavy beat, she says very quietly, yeah?
Of course. You're a perfect fit for a place like this.
What does that mean?
You're alone. And you really always have been, haven't you?
What?
Look around.
I think I finally, like, actually look around.
As you look around, the hotel falls away. And you're kind of spinning around in this cold night in your hometown, just outside of where homecoming was. You're waiting, and you've had moments of loneliness. Here, you think back to a couple different times you felt alone at home after certain people weren't in your life anymore. But you always felt, especially after camp, always felt like you had the golden trouts to be there. You weren't alone when you were in that cabin. You weren't alone even when you were doing a different thing you signed up for than Javi and Zeke that day. You weren't alone. But here you are, and it's starting to sink in that you're going to be, and that no one's gonna come even though they're supposed to. It's probably been 20 or 30 minutes now and you've been waiting. Your lips are cold, and your eyes burn a little bit. Not sadness, but frustration, I think. Like, yeah. Irritation. It's dark. You do have plans after this. What do you do, Amanda?
It's been longer than it should have. Mm-hmm. And Javi should have picked me up by now.
Yeah.
It doesn't take this long to say goodbyes and come out here. God. This bow on my head is irritating me. I take it off.
Uh-huh. Where do you put it?
I think I, like, hold it in my hand and then I, like, throw it to the side.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a big, like, reddish-purple bow. Mm-hmm. Matches the color of my dress that we took too long to find at a Macy's department store, but my mom insisted that I go. And so we went dress shopping.
Right.
And we found this very frilly, very poofy purple dress that has, like, floral beaded accents on it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be here. But she insisted, and I love my mom, so of course I'm going to go.
Uh-huh. And just like camp, your friends were there. Zeke was there for a bit. He showed up for pictures, and I think he came down, and then he headed home pretty quickly because he was getting everything ready for the night.
Yeah, we made a plan afterwards because I didn't want to be here, and I know Zeke didn't want to be here, and we invited Javi because, you know, I'm sure Javi didn't really want to be there either, and we were going to stay in Zeke's place and the basement and watch movies for the night.
Yeah, you took pictures for the parents.
I took photos for the parents because my mom insisted that we take photos together.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm waiting for Javi to come get me, and it's been too long. And I think after I drop the bow, I just start walking.
Yeah. That walk is the loneliest you've ever felt. And there's been a lot of moments of isolation in your life, Clem. There's a lot of things that have made you isolated, but none have ever been the direct negligence of someone you care about this deeply. You blink away some of those frustrated or maybe now sad tears that are coming down a little bit. And you're in this hotel again. It's still cold. You still feel the kind of bite of that night on you and the weight of that level of kind of let down in your chest, sagging your heart down, or what you have to imagine is sagging your heart down. As I said, you're just like the rest of us.
What is this?
This is where all the lonely people go. We stay here together.
Where is everyone then?
In their rooms. Everyone has one. Are you ready for yours, or would you like to sit a bit more?
Let me sit a bit more.
Yeah. Clem, give me some kind of spirit roll, your spiritual presence, your soul.
Oh, jeez. I think grit.
All right. Give me a grit roll, please.
Ah, that's a one.
You are lethargic and tired. And you may have just snapped, but you are just so exhausted. And you sit down. Heavier than maybe you've ever been before, almost as if there's something pressing on your shoulders and pushing your eyelids down. Back to the boys. Zeke, your body stopped moving, but you see this scene. It is cold. It's almost mountainous here. There's snow. There's this kind of bluster of wind and bits of flakes of snow that kind of burn your cheeks. Javi, you see steam coming off of Zeke's face and off of the blood on Zeke's nose as if something cold were blasting him in the face. And cold, cold. It's cold in here. You see these feet, toenails grown, a bit emaciated. You've stopped Zeke. What do you do?
Yeah, no. Nope. Nope. Nope.
You're pulling Zeke out?
Yeah.
Zeke, this person, you see their face and their hair. They are betraying them as possibly a young woman. I've always been alone. It's okay. I can be alone in here forever. Rocking back and forth. You feel a tug as if you're going to leave the room, as if your body's doing what it wasn't doing a moment before. What do you do? What does Zeke want to do here?
Can I like grab the corner of the wall to kind of keep me there?
Yeah.
So yeah. And can I ask her? Can I talk?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to be like, oh, hey, I'm looking for a friend. Have you seen anyone around here?
Javi, Zeke's arm shoots up. And I didn't make you roll, so I'm not going to make Zeke roll. You were kind of just tugging him away. And it's been pretty easy to lead him up to this mm-hmm. point. Zeke's arm kind of shoots up. And it moves a bit uncannily, just quickly, and like latches onto to the side of the wall. And Zeke is a rock in this moment. And you don't remember Zeke ever being that much stronger than you. And again, you're not yanking him, but it was like, whoa. Like, even a light tug from you typically would move Zeke. Feet don't even budge. And then you from Zeke's own mouth. It doesn't feel evil. Like, it doesn't feel bad. It's uncanny, though. Mm-hmm. Zeke is speaking, and you don't know to what or how he's speaking. It's like hearing a fully foreign language to you, not like hearing, like, Mandarin or Japanese, where you've heard it spoken in households, you've heard it in, like, a movie or a song or something. It's like hearing a language that's been lost. You sit here, your ears kind of just like, what? Like, trying to dial in to maybe a piece or something, and nothing. Zeke, you ask this person if they've seen your friend, and you see she stops rocking. She kind of like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you come in. It's a bit cold. Do you not have a jacket or something? And you see herself, she's wearing pajamas. She's in shorts and like a tattered shirt.
Oh, I'm like, oh, well, usually I have a jacket on, but it doesn't look like I have it on now.
Oh, okay, well, you might want to make it quick in here then. It's fairly cold here. You said your friend is here?
Yeah, I think she came by here.
Oh, that's... Okay. I haven't met anyone here recently, I don't think. And you see her kind of trail off, lost for a moment. Zeke, have you ever seen someone with some kind of dementia or Alzheimer's like that?
I think maybe his grandparents are starting to show signs, mm-hmm. but not quite there, but they're like, you know, they're forgetting stuff.
There's this pause and this grasp at a thing they know, or they must have known, that this woman shows to you. She talks, oh, I don't, again, I'm not sure. And she stops, and then you see her grasping or looking for the thing, almost like scrolling through files that aren't there or that have been erased. I'm sorry, no, I don't think I've seen your friend. How did you get in here?
Oh, I'm just walking around looking for my friend.
I think you need to leave. This place is only for those of us that have been left and are abandoned and are lonely and are meant to be lonely. And you're not. You're so warm. And you have a friend with you, and they're strong. And I can feel it. And he's standing there. I don't think he sees me, but he looks scared. Or maybe he does. You have to go. You can't be here.
Okay. Do you need help?
No, I was left here. I'm left here, so I think that I just have to stay here.
Why don't you try coming with me?
Javi, you see one of the toes twitch a bit. Do you want to do anything?
Just try and tug him back. Just
are you gonna like actually tug on him?
I don't want to move too much. Is my problem? Okay.
You do another like tug, Zeke. Why don't you come with me? And she's, and then you feel another tug. Your body trying to move as you don't want it to. Do you anchor down some more?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna try to hold on to this.
Yeah, you hold steady. You feel your fingers slip a bit this time. Whatever's pulling you strong. But you're anchored here. I don't think I should. I haven't left my room, and so this is my room. It's where I belong.
I mean, this is that. Where are we?
We're in the hotel. I checked in. I don't remember how long ago.
I'm just gonna reach out my hand mm-hmm. to like help her up. You see if that does anything.
You, Javi, see Zeke's hand begin to reach out, and Zeke's body begins stepping forward a bit. You have to cross this full threshold to get into where she is on the bed. Mm-hmm. Zeke's body begins moving. Javi.
I don't know what to do.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know
Javi's
what to do.
Javi's stunned here. Yeah. I think you're holding the rope fairly yeah. tight, and your feet begin sliding as Zeke is walking, and you're getting pull. It's almost like tug of war when you're just losing.
Yeah.
And your feet are just, and it's so cold here. You cross that threshold. It's a frozen tundra here. You're getting blasted by the snow and the wind. Your eyes are watering. But this person is looking at you and her hand is slowly going up. And you can't stop. You're reaching your hand out to this person who you think needs help. And she's like, and she reaches her hand out and she grabs your hand. Zeke, what was your intention here trying to help her up?
I'm just trying to help this lady because this is obviously a bad place. And mm-hmm. I think I'm in a dream. I'm kind of in that dream thing where things still kind of make sense, you know? It's like, yeah. Oh, of course I'm in this, like,
yeah,
tundra.
You're like lucid dreaming almost. Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, you're experiencing dream world as a dream person, mm-hmm. but you have that ounce of control.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why I'm like, I recognize this is a bad place, uh-huh. and I just don't want to leave her.
Yeah. You reach your hand out, and she grabs your hand. She's like, oh, you are so warm. Are you sure it's fine if I go with you?
I mean, yeah, if you wouldn't mind helping me find my friend.
Of course, I'd love to help you find your friend. I've just been here for so long, I don't know what it's really like outside. Javi, you fully see onto this bed now, as Zeke is standing next to it, is the thin, thin, emaciated body of what you have to assume was a fairly young woman. Her nails have grown out fairly equally as long as her toenails have. Her hair has grown past the edges of the bed. And she lays there. Light heaves in her chest as if she's still alive.
But I'm looking at a dead body.
The hair's growing, the nails are growing. She doesn't look blue or rotting or decaying. And that's the hard part. You see Zeke's hand has been out, and then Zeke puts his hand down. Zeke, as you help her off this bed, she stumbles a bit, and she's like, would it be okay if you carried me?
I mean, I'm not the strongest guy around, but I'll do my best.
I don't have shoes on the floor, so cold. You see there's ice and rock on the floor. It's not the floor of a room. It's the floor of a tundra,
mm-hmm.
and she's barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
And you're gonna carry her?
Yeah, I'm gonna try to like just put her on my shoulder.
Yeah,
you know,
she climbs. Kinda... She's light.
Okay.
Lighter than you would have even conceptualized. Thank you. You're so warm. What was your name?
Oh, my name's Zeke.
Zeke, that's a really fantastic name, Zeke. I'm Sarah.
Oh, hey, Sarah.
Thanks. You do hear two voices at the same time say Sarah. As Zeke turns and starts walking away from this bed. So Zeke was in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
He's walking this way. Does Zeke pass you and then you turn and start walking, or do you start walking before Zeke?
I think Zeke passes me because I'm still just looking at this woman.
Yeah, Zeke passes you. You pass that threshold, Zeke. I think, have you loosened on the rope, or are you holding the rope still?
I might have loosened on it a little.
It slips from your hand for a moment. Mm-hmm. Seems to be faster than you expected for someone walking. You see this body heave a bit and then go down and heave a bit and go down. And Zeke, you walk her out of this room. You're in the hotel again. It's not cold, but it's so... It's air conditioned. It's cold, but it's so much warmer than where you just were. Javi, you see it heave and drop, and then it stops, and this body has stopped breathing. And you're in there alone. It's not cold in here anymore. Not as cold as it was. It's just a room now. You walk out?
Yeah. backing out. Just like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
You back out. You kind of step on the rope and you're like, oh, right. And you pick it up. Zeke, you've walked her out. She's, thank you, Zeke. I think if your friend just got here, she's probably going to have to check in first. You have to find the lobby. I don't
remember how to get there, but I know it's not in this hallway. I think this hallway's almost full anyways. And she hugs you, and her arms aren't as cold. It feels like the hug of someone who's alive. A young girl, probably in her 20s, gives you this squeeze. You're just like, thank you. And your shoulders, even that ounce of weight, that little bit of weight that was on them, is gone. And she is gone. And that wind from in there is gone. The coldness is gone. You're just in this hotel again. Javi, you see Zeke's clothes give to a hug, wrinkle a bit. And I think maybe even Zeke reaches a hand up and does this, like as if grabbing someone's arm, and then the clothes go back to normal. And you're standing here, Zeke. We're going to cut away really quick. Back to Clem. Well, is it time for you to acquire your room? Have you ruminated and thought enough? And you hear like a sorry.
Yeah.
Let me walk you there. As you stand up, you feel your legs, after running for a long time or after doing some helping your friend move, whatever, your this weight in your legs, like they're almost done being used. The tension in the muscle, your body is so heavy and you're walking so sluggishly, and you just know the way to go. And you walk towards this elevator. It starts opening. Back to you guys. Zeke, what do you want to do?
Okay. I'm going to be like, thank you, Sarah. I'll look for the lobby.
You. Thank you, Sarah. In his voice, but kind of made out of the whispers. And then I'll look for the lobby.
Lobby.
Oh. Yeah, Javi being the only awake one right now, you know?
Oh, no.
Yeah, so you're going to look for the lobby?
Yeah.
I would like you to roll something with advantage this time, because Sarah's giving you help here.
How about brains? I'm like looking for signs.
That sounds good. So I'll let you roll this kind of, would you rather roll it twice and add them together? Would you rather roll it, and if you roll poorly, roll again?
I'll roll twice and add them together.
Sounds good.
4, 10.
Oh, reroll.
Oh, 6.
All right, so that's a 20?
Yeah.
You see now, or you know now, and maybe it was just, you get a bit of Sarah's memory. And even Sarah seemed like she didn't remember, or maybe she just didn't want to in that moment, but she's imparted it upon you. You hear from inside the room doors open and close as if you had been in that room for years. You know there's more people in these rooms, but you know that they all came from an elevator. And you also see the path Sarah took when she first arrived, which was down and down and down, the way you had come down this way. Where would you like to go? The elevator or down towards the lobby?
Ooh. I think I'm going to try the elevator.
Okay.
Seems like that's how they got up here.
Yeah. So. You begin walking. Javi, again, Zeke is in this motion. Zeke walks to the end of this hallway. And where it looked like it ended, there's another minor hallway almost. And it's the way it's built, it's like practically flush to the wall if you're not literally looking next to the wall, and it goes down, and I would say it's about not even shoulder width. It's just shy of being shoulder width, so you have to turn your body sideways to go down this hallway. And you see Zeke is just doing it. Zeke is in motion of this as he is asleep and in root of something. And you keep following and holding onto that rope, Javi?
Yeah, man. Like, what else am I to do?
I wasn't sure if you're going to wake him up or no. Not.
He's going away. He knows things.
Yeah, Zeke is moving so confidently.
I wouldn't have seen that. Like, I don't know. He knows where he's
and
going.
And that's the thing is, you truly standing here, you're like, this was a single hallway. And there was still a way to go. And Zeke, you crawl down this way. You break out within 10 feet into another hallway. In this hallway, there similarly is on the opposite end of it where the doors begin. There's another piece of wall that is just shy of being flush, and behind that wall is a door. And you open that door, you're just following this trail that you is now mapped out in your brain as if it's your memory. You're kind of reverse walking it, though, as she was walked from the elevator this way. You're walking in this way. And you go into this door, Javi again following him. Another spot hidden behind a wall that's practically flush to itself, making it this illusion that there's nothing there, like it's all one wall, but it's not. There's a door behind it. You go in there. You come to this space that is, you recognize would have been some kind of storage space, a kitchen where workers would be if workers worked this portion of the hotel, but you know they can't because no one could navigate this normally. Just past this area, there's this double door that swings. You push it open, it boop, 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 and there's an elevator. And you see, dong, dong, it's going up. And it passes your floor, dong, dong, keeps going up. You hear the movement of the elevator. Zeke, you get there. As you stand there, as it passes your floor, you feel all of the weight of what you now know is every single person in every single room in this backspace, because you felt a bit of that weight just a moment ago, but it was lighter. And I would like you to roll me a grit roll, please.
Okay. 10.
That's so good, Zeke. You feel almost like you're going to fall to your hands and knees, but you don't. You keep yourself steady. Zeke, do you steel yourself here specifically to show it that you're strong enough here, or are you just resisting weight?
I think I'm resisting it because I kind of want to show that this can be resisted.
As you do that, you resist this weight. You see a bit more blood kind of push out of Zeke's nose. It's more than you've ever seen. Zeke, you, for a moment, as this elevator car passes and you hear it passing, you hear your door open to your den at home. And you've heard that door open specifically that way with the same wind and the same clump of Clem's probably boots you wore that night. Maybe a bit platformed, but you hear the clump of Clem's platformed boots. And you know the sound of that night because that's probably the most upset you've seen Clem ever. And it's likely the most upset within your friend group or within your friends you've ever been.
I think there's also a bit of guilt because he hears the door open and he's like, he ends up doing a joke because obviously she's there later than she should have. Uh-huh. So he doesn't look at, he's still like doing something. Uh-huh. So he doesn't look at her and he makes a joke like, oh, he must have had a real good time dancing all night, you know? And so he makes this joke and then he turns around and sees her and sees it's serious. So I think there's like some guilt that he like made a joke instead of like, and
you again make this joke and you hear your own joke ring out, but not from you. And you feel that weight and the uncomfortability of making a joke you shouldn't have made because you didn't pay attention. And I think there's even that bit of guilt of like, oh, like in that moment. And I think your brain's just kind of reliving all of it is that like, if I had stayed longer instead of insisting on that, I didn't want to be there and leaving right after pictures, I could have stopped this. Like we could all still be friends. Mm-hmm. And like, for Zeke, was this just a mistake Javi made, or was this a continuous pattern of behavior that had been just inconvenient enough?
I think it's more of a lot of little things, but Zeke is kind of an easygoing guy, so he never really thought too much. He was just like, he bails on plans every now and then, but I think this is the first time that it's been like upsetting.
Yeah, and you in that moment have that like, oh, like I, after Clem kind of cries and tells you what happened, and you guys do still have the sleepover, you guys watch your movies, but there's still that weight of the fact, or maybe lightness of the fact, that Javi is not there, and that Javi bailed on something, and his bailing on something affected Clem. She had to walk here in the cold. She
supposed to get a ride. If you had stayed longer, you could have driven. Mm.
And I think also he was kind of annoyed that they were taking so long. So I think he was like just kind of messing with stuff because he was like, why are they not here yet? Like, what are they doing? So he, the whole time he was waiting, he was like annoyed that they're not there yet. And then he makes that joke because he's trying to, because he's also trying to lighten his like mood to be like, so he's like, oh, so he kind of feels, he feels like he was being selfish in that moment of like,
And then that night washes away because it's not your memory. You just remembered parts of it when you felt it as they go to the next floor and ding, ding. You know whose memory that is and you know whose weight that is.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Oh, so I look up because I'm assuming it's one of those old timey ones that shows like the arrow. Yeah. So I wait and see where the, which floor it's going to.
Yeah. It, so you would be on the third floor currently. It stops at 9.
Okay.
Javi, you stand there, and this is the first time outside of the cold. You felt the cold. You feel the cold air hit you probably 2 or 3 hours after, and you realize 2 or 3 hours after, like, oh, shit, and you ran outside wherever you were, and you were hot because you were inside somewhere that was busy, and a lot of things were happening, and the cold air hits your skin, and you're like, oh, my God. And you feel that, and you're like, what the hell? And you hear even bits of that night, maybe dance music, maybe people talking. And then it's gone for a second. And you feel it the least, but you hear it and you feel it. And you know that that is a memory you exist in.
This episode is brought to you by the World Builders Club, a project of Working Families Power, an organization building power for the multiracial working class. The World Builders Club is your go-to dispatch for breaking down the political, cultural, and emotional architecture behind your favorite universes, from romantasy novels and TTRPGs to blockbuster franchises and indie gems. This isn't just pop culture analysis. It's a love letter to the art of creating worlds and the power those worlds have to shape our own. I, Kim, am a really big movie lover, and I've recently gotten back into reading, so I just finished Project Hail Mary, and I really enjoyed their piece about how we've been getting first contact all wrong, and their piece on how Hopecore seems to be the future for sci-fi, especially with the vibe of Project Hail Mary and Superman last year. Hope is punk. So, join the club and build a better world with them by subscribing to bit.ly/WBC many-sided, or by searching World Builders Club on Substack.
In the far reaches of the world, under a lost and lonely hill, lies the forgotten Tomb of Corridors and all its many ills. This labyrinthine crypt filled with monsters, traps, and treasure seeks to destroy your mortal form and seal your soul forever. Originally called Tomb of Horrors, based off the original created in 1979, included in my version of Tomb of Corridors will be its own background information, a legend of the tomb as it relates to the land of Hyrenor, and quite a few unserious hijinks. I'm Amelia Somm, and I will be your dungeon master. Embarking within the tomb, we also have
Haley as the Queen's Ravens,
Stella Jo as the Sacrificial Sisters of Alpha Kappa Mori,
Cyrus as a lesbian who keeps coming back wrong.
New episodes release on Mondays, wherever you get your podcasts.
The heck is going on?
Clem, you've stood in this elevator. At one point, for just a moment, you pass one of the floors, you see just ding, ding. You hear the laughter and the splashing and the crackling campfires of camp and your friends. And then you hear the roar and the vibration of an engine and the same jokes and similar feelings. But they've been just shy of being exactly as they were. And the ding, it's gone as you're on the next floor. What does Clem do or feel in that moment?
I think she's just thinking about the walk she took to Zeke's. It was so cold, and she didn't wear the proper clothing because she didn't think she was going to be waiting outside for so long. Yeah. And the walk was so quiet, and it was so much of just things that had been happening. You know, there were times we were supposed to go to the movies together or just hang out at Zeke's. And Javi said he would come, and then he didn't. Javi always said he had practice, so he couldn't hang out after school. Javi didn't sit with us at lunch. Javi said hi once in the cafeteria, and then I stopped sitting in the cafeteria. And it was hard because we had existed so much of our lives together, and then all of a sudden we weren't. And I know he was busy, and I know he was doing sports, but I thought he cared enough to hang out with us. And then he left me outside in the cold, and we were supposed to go watch movies. He knows I didn't want to be at that dance. He knows how my mom is. He knows how much this meant for her, and how much I didn't want to be there, and how much that this hangout afterwards was going to mean for me. And he didn't show.
You are thinking these things, and the last thought you have for a moment is he didn't show, and you're about to bounce to the next thought. You feel a hand on your shoulder, and it's heavy, and it's cruel, but nonetheless, it's on you. You've accepted it, and you hear it, because he doesn't care. But that's okay, because we're all here, and we'll all care together. And then eventually, we can remind them all to care once there's enough of us here. You feel that pressure, and thung, the door opens, and you begin walking. Back to you guys. Javi, you've had the first moment of like, is that no damn? Yeah. Zeke, the elevator stopped, but it hasn't come back down yet. You know they've gone to the 9th floor. What do you do?
I'm going to call the elevator.
You click it. You've just stepped out. This weight is still on your shoulders, and it closes and begins moving down. Let's go. And this is the second time now that this thing that's offering you this place to rest has had pause.
I don't notice it.
Rolling poorly, huh? You're walking toward your room. Dun, dun, dun. It's coming down. It's taking its time. It's an old elevator. You walk 4 paces to the 4th room on the right-hand side. You open it. You go in. It's a room for just a moment as you step in. It's just the long strip of road that you have to take to get into the cul-de-sacs. And you sit on a bench. I think you did sit on a bench for a bit. Your feet were sore. You wore those stupid... They were new, and you wore them, and you knew you shouldn't have, but also you weren't supposed to walk all the way to Zeke's. And you sit down, and you kind of just... are there, alone. I'll come back once all the rooms are full, and then we can teach everybody just how lonely things can be. But for now, just know that you have neighbors to your left, to your right, and across the way. The door closes. Opens. You get in?
Yeah,
This elevator has come down. I will note, Zeke did not push the elevator button. Zeke stood there, the elevator button turned on, and then it came down. You push it in your dream.
Okay.
The two of you get into this elevator, yes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You click 9. Well, you don't click 9. In your dream, you click 9. You see Zeke pointedly not click 9. 9 bings on. You begin going up to the 9th floor. It opens. There's no one here. Zeke, what do you want to do?
I'm going to step out into the hallway. I'm just going to look in each direction and see if there's anything that stands out.
Roll me something.
I guess I'll go brain again.
Okay.
10.
Dude, roll again. Zeke's been on fire.
Yeah.
3, 13.
13. You, again, this, a similar, and you feel it again, Javi, similar to when Zeke moved and then landed as if something had helped him. Zeke begins walking, and then I think you even see it for just a moment, Javi. The buzz of the lights, not unlike the buzz of the lights when you first left for your journey inside of the gas station, are irritating you, and you hear it for a second, and you're just like, and they're not even the same kind of lights, but you hear that buzzing, that electricity, and you see this outline of its hands, and these, and they're see-through, they're clear, you can't see them, but you see them for just a second, you perceive them, maybe it's a mixture of sound and scent and even taste of stale air, but you see this amalgamation, this corridor of hands slowly grabbing and gently pushing Zeke in a direction, and he walks towards the fourth door on the right hand side. You open it.
Yep.
You are following behind Javi, or have you let go of the rope again?
No, I'm following.
You're following behind Javi. You feel air you know, a night you know. You walk in, yes?
Yeah, I walk in.
You begin walking in, and it's, as for you, it's this long strip of street. You've never been here. You know this street, but you've never been in this moment.
Mm.
The rope snaps and the door closes. Javi, you're outside.
Huh? Zeke. Like, I go to open the door. Yeah.
Can't. And how did you make your way in here, young man?
Huh?
And you hear it.
Flipping around.
And you, the lights begin going. You heard me.
Who's there?
And I will note that when the voice started, it was soft, and then it quickly became crude. That doesn't matter. Who are you, and why are you here?
I'm just looking for my friend.
Hmm. I want you to make me... How do you prevent something from reading your soul? From touching your spirit?
I run away from it.
You use flight?
Yeah.
You're gonna try to take off?
Me.
Or mentally run away?
Mentally run away from,
you
run away
you
from
cl-
it.
You close it. Give me a flight roll. I love Taylor trying to come up with how she can use flight.
Yeah. Well, flight no, isn't even my best
just
one.
Just
but it's like, yeah.
No,
like,
that's good. That's good.
Yeah, it's yeah. Just he runs away from stuff. He has no grit.
Emotionally, you run away from stuff also. It's not the first time.
That's a 4 on the die.
You feel two hands kind of grip what you can only perceive as your emotions. Oh, you're not lonely.
What?
You're here for your friend? Because you left her?
What?
How else would she end up here? How else would your friends end up here?
We were all
Javier.
We were taking a nap. She sleepwalks.
And then for a second you hear a voice, and this thing has taken on a voice. My own son can't even... You're going to play college ball, and that is final. I understand there's pressure involved. I understand that your mother says these things, but none of that matters, Javier, because you have the physicality. You have the strength. You have the athleticism. You can get a college degree faster than any of your friends by shooting a basket. Do you understand that, Javier? I don't care what you want to do.
Are we just shot into this, like, memory?
Oh, you're not in a memory. This voice is saying that. Okay. And I'll say, these are voices in your memory, but you're not in a memory. You're standing in this hallway being berated by your father again, or your father's voice with words he has used. I do not care, Javier. You're better than that. You're better. Be better.
What the hell?
You hear a door slam. And you feel that isolation of being left in your room after being reamed for no reason. But you're still not alone, Javier. Those things were said to you, and you're still not alone. Do you know why? Because no one left you. No one left you behind. You left them. You had to pick, right? And you ended up halfway in between both. And what does that make you? Someone whose knee doesn't actually hurt. Someone who pretends to be hurt so they don't have to face anything. You're halfway between two things that could make you great, meaning you're nothing. And your dad knows it, and you know it. And every single person you've ever met knows it.
I think he's crumbling in on himself. 100% sinking to the floor, just like, just full-on panic attack.
Sit there and think about it. And when you're done, I'll let you leave. And you can continue with your nothing life. You are no threat to what I have here because you're nothing. When you're done crying, go press for the ground floor and you can go. And then whew, there's just a silence. Back to you guys. Zeke, you've walked in or walked down this road now a bit, and you see your friend sitting on the cement bench that she sat on for a moment on her way. And you pretty quickly know now that this is her memory of a night you have memories of also, but in a different way because they're your memories. Clem, you look up and you see in the distance, and you feel the warmth of Zeke, who you felt the warmth of because he's your friend before. And Zeke is funny and boisterous and brings too much in his bag camping. And you see his outline, but not... Zeke, how do you present yourself here? Are you in this memory with Clem, or are you an intruder on this memory? Are you presenting yourself... Is Zeke so in this memory that he's coming as Zeke that night, or is Zeke coming in to find Clem?
Yeah, I think he's coming in as an intruder. He's coming in to find Clem.
You see the outline of an older Zeke. A Zeke you know. And even in, though you're in this memory, you're stuck here. You're just like, and it, you begin searching, and there's little pieces missing in your brain, but you're reaching at it, and you know that this isn't the only night that exists, but it feels that way. And you see Zeke, but you still feel that weight. And you're here because you're supposed to be, because you're alone, Clem. You're walking down the street towards Clem. You see Clem. What do you do?
I'm going to kind of wave and go, Clem, and I'm going to start picking up the pace to get to her.
You're doing this little trot.
I think from that night, I sat here, and the light started flickering like it was about to go out, and that's why I got up and started walking again. I think it starts doing that again, and I get up and I start walking.
Yeah, you're walking down this way. Zeke, you see Clem walking away. The light flickers for just a moment. You pick up the pace a little more.
I'm gonna start picking up, like, hey!
And you're just walking, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just walking. I think I'm conscious of someone calling out to me, being like, hey! I think I pick up the pace slightly, but I don't acknowledge it.
Oh, hopefully she doesn't think I'm chasing her. This is a man.
Yeah. You close the distance fairly quickly. You're moving much faster than Clem.
Yeah. I'm going to start like running. Yeah. If she starts picking up, I'm like, Clem!
Clem, quickly, into this moment, you hear Zeke's voice yell out to you. Zeke, do you reach for Clem as you close that distance?
Yeah, I'm just going to like try to touch your shoulder.
Yeah, you feel a hand grab your shoulder, and it's not that heavy hand. It's the hand of a friend. And you're still here, but you're not alone here for the moment. Do you turn around?
Leap up to a roll. Odds I turn around. Evens. I don't.
You stand there, hand on your shoulder. Clem hasn't turned around.
I'm going to kind of look around and be, just say like, well, I'll walk with you to my house then, so you're not alone. And I'm just going to kind of follow her. I'm going to be close by so she can still hear my footsteps are there, even if she's not going to follow.
And you know it's Zeke. It's not some stranger. It is Zeke, whether or not he looks like you think he should look right now. It is Zeke. And it 100% is him. It's not a memory of him.
I think I start crying because I've envisioned this night so many times in my head in which someone would join me on this walk.
And you walk. You're still walking, yeah?
Yeah.
You just, both of you walk.
Like, every now and then I'll just like, oh, chilly night.
Yeah.
Because I think it's kind of like real quiet and he's kind of uncomfortable with the quiet.
Yeah.
So he's just like making little comments.
Yeah, you guys walk and every once in a while you'll hear these little tidbits from Zeke. But I think there's that bit of lightness every time because Zeke brings a bit of levity. But you walk and you guys walk for longer than this road actually is in your hometown. Back outside. You've closed it on yourself, Javi.
Yeah, I'm on the floor.
You're on
hands
the floor.
And knees, just like
yeah, trying to catch your breath.
Yeah.
You feel its presence still here. You know it hasn't left, but it's left you. Javi, how do you stop these when this happens? You've had panic attacks before games before. You probably had one that night when 3 hours had gone by and you realized you were at an after party and you were supposed to drive with Clem somewhere. And I think you ran outside and freaked out and then went home. Did you go by Zeke's place? Did you walk that way?
I don't think so.
You've had these before. How do you handle them? Or do you?
I don't.
You're sitting there, and this might be the worst one. You've felt this way before when your dad said those things to you, but you weren't in a memory. Something else that touched your soul said these things to you. And then, on top of that, this journey that's been a lot, but at least has been fun, had that little juxtaposition of the fact that you don't call Amanda Clem, and you don't know why everyone else does. And every once in a while, you'll look at Amanda, expecting her to know what you're thinking, and she doesn't. And you're sitting here recognizing that not only do you feel like nothing, but the people that could help you feel better are in that room, stuck. You're breathing heavy, and your heart hurts. And I would like you to roll a grit for me, please.
It is a 2.
Your limbs have gone. They feel like bad electricity. You can't move them. They tingle and they hurt and they're almost limp. And you're at this point, you're not on all fours on your hands. You're on your like elbows. You're on your forearms breathing in. You begin to heave. You can't stop it all. Your body is trying to get rid of this feeling, of this weight, of this pressure. And you feel what you'd seen before or what you had perceived before. You feel hands on you. You feel one kind of close its fingers around yours as they're kind of open to the sides as you're on your elbows. And you just feel multiple hands. And they're not malevolent. They're not the thing that said this to you. As they're touching you, as their hands are wrapping around your ankle and putting it on your shoulders, and there's some on your chest moving with your breath, and you feel them putting pressure to slow your breaths down, and they're so, so lonely, every single one of these hands. But they're still here holding you. They all are in so much pain.
He's like, stop. like, you just can't fathom it. Like, it's.
They push you upright and sit you down and slide you against the wall. And again, you're still freaking out, telling them to stop. And again, you feel all their emotions. They hurt just like you do, but they're still holding you. some of them hurt more than you do, and they're still holding you.
Yeah, he's sobbing.
You cry. And then you just think. Javi, have you been able to piece together parts of what's going on?
Yeah, I think he's there fully. And it's that thing of like, he never wants to think about it. So why would that be the case? If it's, you know, it's just, it can't be.
Javi, if you could, or if you had the chance to undo that, would you?
See, that's the question. Think of it from his point of view. He, you know, went to homecoming. He's getting noticed by all the varsity seniors. His dad's going to be so happy that he's hanging out with them. Maybe they can get him in next season, right? This is his big break. Finally, you know, his dad's going to get off his back. He's going to do this. He's going to be great. He's going to do the things that his dad wants him to do. And then he'll go fuck off and play college basketball. Who gives a shit? And it'll be over and it'll be fine and it'll be great. And they're nice. And John's kind of cute. And this is fun. I'm having a fun time. So much fun that I'm forgetting everything that I'm supposed to be doing. And I don't know if I ever want to not have that.
You think about that and the fact that there were nice moments regardless on either side of where you ended up in the middle of. Javi, do you really, really believe that you're nothing?
I think he doesn't think that he's nothing, right? But he does believe that people believe that he's nothing, and that's enough.
You sit here just weighed down, thinking about how you're so sad that that night went the way it did, because there's a way you could have handled it, I'm sure, that could have been better. You've got your breath back to yourself. The hands help you up. You feel the hands grip you and pull you up. Do you go to the elevator?
Well, no.
What do you do then?
Stands there for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
He can't just leave. Well, what are they going to think if I don't have a car, first of all. Well, what am I going to do? I'm going to go out there and what? At least I have like a chance with something again with my friends here, you know? I go back out there, I'm alone, my dad doesn't want me. I don't even think if I called, he'd pick up if I needed it. So I think he just, like, kind of just slowly, slowly just walking towards the door. Just knocking really weakly.
You, too, have walked for quite some time. Still not turned around?
No.
Zeke, you just walk with her, making your little comments from time to time?
Yeah.
Zeke, I would like you to give me another role for your spirit, your soul, what you've been doing here.
I think grit. 8.
This walk should be forever. And you know, because you were in that tundra before. Mm. But here, you don't know how, you don't know if it's you or Clem, but you know you see your house. You see the cul-de-sac you would dip into to walk towards your house. Mm. Clem, that's the way you would walk. You haven't walked infinitely here yet. You don't know what this place is supposed to be. Are you just taking the road you took to get there?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to make a comment like, ah, oh, finally, we're almost there.
I think she like mindlessly sort of sniffles and is like, so what movies do you have?
Oh, yeah, there's a couple. I thought we'd watch some older stuff. I was like in this cowboy mood recently. Been watching some cowboy movies. I thought that would be fun, little spaghetti westerns.
Cowboys.
Yeah, they're always fun. They ride into town, and then there's some problem, and then they solve the problem, and then they leave. It's just a fun, they're just fun.
Oh, I guess you're right.
So, yeah, you guys get to the door. You just talked about your westerns. Zeke, you walk in. You see for a moment that there's a you, and you hear the joke get made, but quickly you kind of become one in this space. There can't be two Zekes in this memory. You put the movies on?
Yeah.
You guys sit down, you start getting the popcorn.
Yeah.
You're kind of just doing meander talk, I think. I don't think you straight up vomit out why you're upset or why you walked. You just do little bits here and there. You guys have sat, popcorn made, snacks out, drinks out, movie on, and you hear a knock on the back of the door, and you all know what Javi's knock sounds like because he has the heaviest hand. And even though he's a delicate boy, he's still such a clumsy giant asshole. And he hard on this door. Javi, you've knocked. Do either of you let him in?
I think I'll look to Clem to let her decide. And I'm going to stand up to like, I'm going to go open the door, but I'm going to look to Clem if she wants me to.
I think I give you that sort of look where it's like, yeah, you can go ahead and open the door.
Right. Yeah, so I'll go and open the door.
You open the door. You're still in this dream. You're still in this moment. Javi, the door opens. You see now Zeke. Blood has now covered his mouth from his nose. And you see bits of blood coming out of his eyes. You see his eyes have turned mostly red from like little burst blood vessels. Whatever Zeke has been doing in the sleepwalk, whatever has been going on is hurting him. And you see the edge of the bed, Clem's feet. You see her shoes that she's been wearing on the trip. You've seen a scene like this, except the body was so, so thin and weak. What do you do?
First, I try to wake Zeke up because this can't be good for his noggin.
Zeke, you feel yourself being shaken, and you know now that there's this place and there's that place. And right now you've been in between. What does Zeke do?
I think I'm going to try to stay into it. So I'm going to try to like just violently push him back, but I'm just going to kind of like push him back a little.
You feel Zeke's hand kind of press onto you, and so, so similar to the hands that have helped you up and forced your breath to go back to normal. It is heavy and weighted, but there for you. But Zeke has stopped you from doing what you were doing, from waking him up.
Zeke, buddy, you're bleeding. Just like, I'm gonna try again.
Okay. Yeah, you hear kind of this distant, like, you hear that voice distantly. You hear, Zeke, you're bleeding, but it's so far. And you feel yourself get shaken again.
Yeah, I think since I'm kind of in this in-between state, I think I'll feel my face and see the blood, and then I'll wake up.
Yeah, you come to, and the minute you're like, you just collapse. Your body has really had a toll put on it, had a strain put on it, and you're just kind of, you're awake, but like blood has come out of your nose all over your face. Your eyes have been dripping a bit of blood and tear at this point, and you're just kind of sitting in the hallway like, what the fuck, or in this like in between like the room entrance area. You see Javi standing there. Javi has these puffy like red eyes, a little bit of like clearly like glossy face from like crying and like freaking out.
Shit, dude.
What's going on?
you did the sleepwalk thing and I followed you, then things got weird and you're bleeding, and is that Clem?
Yeah, I think Clem. So I'm gonna start like wiping my face like Clem? with my shirt. Like, yeah, it's Clem. We should We should try to get her out of here.
You kind of move to get up a bit, Zeke, and your arms and legs are a little weaker than you expected, and I think you just slump down for a moment. Javi Clem's over on the bed. Zeke just said, I think we need to get her out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you walk over?
Mm-hmm.
Grab her?
Yeah.
So you put your hand on her. Clem, that door got opened. And Javi, no one was there for a moment. And then Zeke is young Zeke again. And then next to you on this like old dingy couch that's in the den, you feel Javi. And then you feel his hand on your arm. And Javi, you're, as you grab Clem, are here. You've been pulled into this. You've been in this den before, but not on this night. And you see young Clem, whose mascara didn't hold up as much as she'd have liked it to.
No.
And she sees you, but you see adult Javi, knee brace on, no more braces.
I think she's at the edge of this couch doing that thing of, like, having her back towards you and, like, not looking at you. She sniffles.
Tucking at his hair. I think we have to leave.
Where were you?
Some of the guys were talking about going to an after party, and I drove.
It was cold. You could have said that you were busy or something.
I just got caught up, you know?
You usually do. You know I didn't want to be there.
I'm not, I'd say I'm sorry, but I don't think it matters. 'Cause it happened. And it already happened.
I just want to know why you didn't talk to us after. You just kind of disappeared.
Yeah. Always busy. Didn't think you wanted to talk to me.
You thought it would be better if you just left?
Wasn't it?
Do you think it was?
I don't know. You guys kind of started hanging around other people. Everyone called you Clem. I didn't know why. I didn't really understand that. And I just thought, well, that's it.
Do you think our time meant so little that I wouldn't have said hi to you again? Talked to you again? It's not like it was something we couldn't have talked out.
Yeah, but I'm stupid.
I thought you just didn't like us anymore.
No. I just thought you didn't like me anymore. And I didn't really know how to fix it. And I had things I needed to do, and I failed at that too, so.
I showed up to your graduation. My mom sent you soup after your knee got hurt. Those aren't the signs of someone who hates you.
Yeah, Maybe I wanted you to.
As you say that, you wanted Clem to hate you, you wanted Zeke to hate you. Zeke, you've bloody nose, you've wiped your face a bit, you kind of sit there like, man, this is wild. You see Javi walk over and grab Clem and is now kind of frozen there. You know, you remember what's going on. What do you want to do?
I think I'm gonna... can I move, like, or am I too, like...
Yeah, I think you crawl a bit. Okay. Like, you're you stand up a little bit, take a couple steps, like, oh, I need to get back down on the ground.
I think I'm just gonna kind of push myself to the door and kind of, like, just sort of look out and look around at these halls. And then I'm gonna just yell back to Javi. Be like, Javi, you need to get her out of there.
You hear it. You hear Zeke's voice talking to you in this space. You remember, I think you forgot that you weren't here. And you remember, like, oh yeah, we're here. Like, we need to go. Zeke, you, after yelling that, remember that Sarah had to go with you. Mm-hmm. You had to talk to her and get her to leave, and you don't know how long Sarah had been there. It's not like just yanking someone out.
Yeah. I'm just gonna apologize. Say you're sorry.
Back to you guys.
Why?
I don't know. Sometimes it just feels like I deserve that sort of thing, you know?
Says who?
I guess no one. Or maybe everyone? I don't know. I think I have a lot of shit I need to work out, and I can't do it without you or Zeke. So, can we, like... He's like, well, like, can we, like, fix this when we're out of here?
Yeah.
You are back in the room, Javi. Clem is still laying there. She said yeah about getting out of there. And you look at her. Clem, what's after saying yes? And you're back in your body. You're back in the space. You're not in that night anymore. What's the first thought you have?
I think the first thought I have is... us back at summer camp. That first time we went together. And how scary it was to be told to go to a cabin line and pick a cabin line. And how Zeke suggested that we go to the Golden Trout. And how Zeke made that kid super embarrassed so he would go to another line. And how we spent that whole summer together. And how it was kind of weird, but... magnets, I guess. And how we had been together up until that point. And how I miss it.
Javi, you look down at your friend who's sleeping, maybe in still some kind of fugue state, you're not quite sure, but for the first time in such a long time, what she is thinking is what you are thinking, and you feel it all kind of flood in for a moment, and you're not sure if this is a thing that's gonna go back to normal, but you know that this is at least a doorway. And you wake up, Clem. You know you're sharing that thought for just a second, and then it's gone for both of you, and you're in this room, and the lights all begin shaking, and the doors begin rumbling. Zeke, you're lifted up a bit, and I don't know if Dream Zeke remembers. I don't know if Awake Zeke remembers, but you've been getting guided. You've been getting helped. And suddenly you feel hands grabbing you and lifting you up. You're stood up and held right and then kind of given like a little shove towards the elevator. What do you guys do?
I'm gonna start heading to the elevator. Like, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Zeke stumbles
towards the elevator. Yeah, you get Zeke's arm around your shoulder.
Clem, you're running up behind them. Everything's quaking and shaking, and you all for a moment feel that pressure on your shoulders. There's a moment where you're reaching for Zeke. Zeke, you're at the front but stumbling. Amanda, you're just behind because Javi's moving to grab Zeke. And for a second, a split second, you're all not in line together. You're all not in step together. And you all feel that weight and feel that pressure and feel the isolation. And then the minute your hand touches Zeke's wrist, Zeke, you're light again. You're in your body again. That weight is gone. Javi, you throw Zeke over your shoulder and the weight pressing you down of isolation is gone as the weight of Zeke has replaced it. And Amanda, you're the last person in line. They're just ahead of you. You've agreed to go. You see them. You feel that weight. What do you do?
I think after I see Javi, like, help Zeke up, I think I try to go for his other side.
Your two steps to Zeke are maybe the hardest steps you've ever taken. And you've taken a lot of hard steps. You've had a lot of hard walks and a lot of shitty things occur. But you make those steps, you grab Zeke's wrist, you throw him over your shoulder, and similarly, that weight that you felt is replaced by the weight of your friend. And the three of you make it to this elevator. Javi, you were told how to get out.
You
click it, you get in, you click ground floor. It goes, and the elevator itself quakes, the lights all flicker. You three all know that whatever this has been or whatever this is, it cannot do anything to you that you cannot do to yourself. And boom, it opens on the ground floor. It's what you can tell is like the back half of some kind of like maybe like worker room. And you walk out into it, and the door closes, and then you see as it closes, what's there is wall. The front of these two sliding doors is made to look like wall. And you recognize now that this elevator is just hidden, similarly as everything else about that backside of this hotel is hidden, and you hear bustling just outside. You hear a kitchen, you hear workers, and you know that you're on the ground floor.
I think we're good. I'm gonna start wiping my face, and there's like blood. I'm just like smearing it all over my face.
You don't
I'm trying
have
to clean myself.
Do that. I like grab my like sleeve. I like roll it back up and like try to get some of the blood off your face.
Well, that was crazy, right?
Yeah, that was bad. We should get out of here.
Yeah, let's find another hotel. Yeah. There's got to be another one.
Let's grab our stuff and let's get out of here.
Yeah, I should change my shirt.
You should definitely change your shirt and maybe splash your face with water.
Yeah.
As we close on that, you guys run upstairs really quickly. You grab your stuff. I think you all like link arms. You stay together so you don't slip behind.
There's the rope that's still tied around. I think I untangle it. We all hold it. Like, you know, when children, they all have to hold onto the rope.
You're all holding onto this rope. You all quickly make your way up. You make your way out. The lady's like, I'm glad to see you all. You know, you're all heading out.
I'm going to leave a bad review. When Yelp exists, I'm going to leave a bad review.
Read the pamphlet.
You should put an asterisk.
You guys shouldn't be open. You shouldn't be open anymore.
I'm putting a note on my character sheet. Read the pamphlet.
And you all gather your stuff. You all make haste out of this place. It is now nighttime, like middle of the night, probably like almost 1 a.m. And you still head out into the night. Like, no way are we staying here. And I think that's where we're going to close off on this episode of 5 GMs in a Trench Coat.
Good God. Jesus Christ.
I think this one can do without the sign off, right?
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
I'll add sign off on post. Yeah. We're good.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, good episode, guys.
Yeah, I throw up and I die.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you guys have fun?
That was a fun isn't the right word.
That was a chunker, dude.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I told you I was sorry.
Yeah, that was real. Yeah, that real was as fuck. Fucked up. I was like, damn, why am I crying?
We're around like the halfway point.
A special thank you to Supriya Soup, Remy, Bad Heroes Podcast, Lee Carnell, Ink Master, Teresa Giacino, and Imagine If Media for making 5GM Season 5 from Inside the Tent happen.
Hey, howdy, hey, thank you for listening to 5 Jams in a Trench Coat. Be sure to follow us on social media, at 5 Jams in a Trench Coat on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok, and at 5 Jams Official on Blue Sky. You can also check out our website at 5jamsinatrenchcoat.com. We're also on YouTube. Just search up 5 Jams in a Trench Coat to watch us play video games and other variety content. If you like this episode, please rate us 5 stars and leave a little comment. And if you'd like to support us further, you can leave us a little tip on our Ko-Fi at ko-fi.com/5jamsinatrenchcoat. Thanks, and catch you in the next episode.